Gracious God in heaven, Father, we come before you this morning so grateful and thankful for the privilege to hear from you, dear Lord God. These amazing people did not come to hear from me. They came to hear from you. So I thank you, according to Isaiah, for giving me the tongue of the learned that I may speak a word in season to them that are weary, Heavenly Father. And again, that my teaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and manifestation of your spirit and of power, Father God. And Lord, I pray not for a new day in our congregation alone, but Father, there's Grace Baptist, dear Lord God. Father, there's Connection Church. There's Corona Church of the Open Door. There's South Hills, dear Lord God. Father, there's right next door is Corona Friends. We have North Point. Pour your spirit out upon Corona today. And all the Inland Empire, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We just thank you. Lord, I pray for revival in this community, that people will come to know you, to come to know your son Jesus, Father God, and just all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, Lord, all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Repeat after me, please. These are our four core values here at New Day. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
And I will serve.
Worship is our number one core value, and I'm going to challenge you to be totally sold out to the Lord, to honor him, to worship him in every aspect of your life. It's all upside. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So today we're going to conclude our series, Alive. This is part three. And I was reminded of something late last night. I used to sell life insurance. And not only did I sell insurance, but I would often recruit agents to come and work with me because you can get a whole lot more done than just doing it by yourself. And so one of the things I would do, usually I'm sitting with a husband and wife wrapping up, you know, determining their, we used to do a financial needs analysis, and once we got the product, get everything together. And I already knew by then, I know their financial situation. I would pose this question, you know, how would an extra $500 a month help you? And people are like, okay. And they say, oh, you're helping. And then I would get them to be specific. You know, what exactly would you do? What would that look like? And I would begin, you know, get them to dream. I said, okay, so usually it was like I would pay off my bills. And so if they owed, you know, $5,500 in 10 months, I said, you would have that paid off. What would you do after that? Oh, I would go on vacation. Well, great. Where would you go? And I would really begin to get them to dream and just get alive again, because often we start going through life. Life just whoops on us. And we're so content with just getting by, just being, Lord, let my ends meet. One of my cousins said, one time my crazy cousin Keith, he's in Phoenix, right, and he says, Lord, my ends don't have to meet, but just, can they just wave at each other? we begin to just settle. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I really believe Jesus, the Lord wants us to live and just come alive. And just thrive and just and I'm gonna tell you, the best place to do that is in his will. Let's get into this. So scripture text is Acts 1:3, and it says, during the 40 days after his crucifixion, is after Jesus' crucifixion, okay? And that's the time period we're in today, okay? We had Easter, his resurrection, and this is 40 days afterwards. And he said here, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Watch this. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Say kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God. Okay. Now look at Acts 1:6. Right there on your handout. It says this. So when, it's just a few verses later. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him. Say kept asking him. Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Jesus is trying to, as my young brother would say, trying to drop them some knowledge about something so far superior, and they're actually beholding, holding on to something so inferior. Now, I'm not mad at them, but here's my point. If these men who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years saw him die, rise again, if they struggled, what does it say about us? And this is what we do. We compare ourselves with others. We do. We just compare. It's just hard not to. It's hard not to. Because we look at others And if they're doing better than us, we're like, oh. And if they're doing worse than us, oh. And that determines how we're going to feel about ourselves. But is where we are where God has us, desires for us to be? That's ultimately what we have to ask ourselves. It was early 2000. It took me a long time. I didn't know. And praise God, I came into this knowledge. And praise God for Pastor Ed Smith and Zoe, and some of the things he taught me. My life was so wrapped around my wife and my kids. Well, you're a father and a husband. It should be. Yeah, but it was more so about them than it was about God. It happens. And part of the reason it happens is because when I was a kid, I made what I call a personal covenant, an agreement with myself, that I would never be like my daddy. So I was so focused on trying not to be something, I didn't recognize what I should be becoming. Think about it for a moment. Trying so hard not to be like him. Well, who is it I'm trying to be? It was in innocence. I didn't know any better. But my people are destroyed for the lack of. Oh, he says this. Watch this. Go back up to on the first verse. Verse 3. They're listed. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And they kept asking. He's talking about the kingdom of God. And what are they asking? God is like, okay, God sends you to church like this, okay? And I'm up here always talking about purpose and just what he created you to do and trying to get you unlocked and unstuck and you to move into. And I'm going to talk to you about convergence in a moment and what that looks like and I'm pushing it. And you come here and you just, again, I said it last Sunday, you just scanning, is there a new man here today? Anybody single? Anybody without a, and that's to me, in my opinion, that's low-level living. Because it's just me, and from my study of the word, if you would focus on being who he created you to be and focus on becoming that good thing, so it says he who finds a wife finds a good thing, just focus on being a good thing. Focus on being a good thing. Men, single men, focus on finding a wife. Not a side chick. Not somebody hit and quit it. Not somebody to toy with and play with, and be about his purpose. We don't think high enough. We don't. Small-mindedness. I was sharing with the advisory team last Sunday afternoon. We met, and I was blessed to have several times a prophetic word had been spoken over me randomly. I think it was four times I had a recording device going, and it was recorded, and so I was able to transcribe it. And one guy called me out the audience and said, sir, come here. God says you are delivering your people from small-mindedness. I'm like, this man definitely hears from God. Let's get into this. Turn your hand out over, please. Let's get into this, okay? And see, here's the thing. Jesus trying to talk about the kingdom of God and that word about their nationality and getting free from the Romans. And see, in America, we define ourselves, well, what political party are you? Or what ethnicity are you? Or your nationality? My ethnicity, my nationality, that doesn't define me. I'm a child of God. Citizen of the kingdom of God. American second. Now, love America? I do. You travel with me, you're going to come back. You might get off the plane and kiss the ground. Turn your hand out over, please. Let's get into this. A chicken in every pot. Pastor Tony, what are you talking about? Let's read. Acts 1. Now, Acts was written by a man named Luke. Luke was a physician. Luke also wrote the book of Luke. Luke was not a disciple of Christ. He spent time with Paul, he spent time with Peter, and he recorded what was told him, okay? Now, he did a book, and in the first book, he wrote to this guy named Theophilus. So this is where we're going to pick up the book of Acts. Acts actually chronicles what the apostles did after Jesus left, okay, and how the church grew and blossomed and all that went on, okay? It's about a good 30-year run after Jesus. That's the book of Acts, okay? Verse 1. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach. Verse 2. Until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles, watch this, further instructions. So they didn't get all that was necessary. He had to come back. We mentioned circling back and coming back to give them some more. I try to keep in mind that I haven't received all. So when I'm in a setting, I purposely have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is singing. I don't want to assume that I got it figured out. I don't want to ever assume that I've arrived. I've got it made. Okay? So they receive further instructions through the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Verse 4. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before." Now, I need you to see verse 4 again. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. The gift he promised. The gift he promised. Don't do that. Don't leave until you get that, as I told you before. So there was something else they needed. Now, May 20th, I'm going to really deal with this, okay? Verse 5. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something that had not happened. I need you to get this. I know this kind of, most of you are familiar with this. Most of y'all been in a tongue-talking church forever, and you came out your womb, mama's womb, tongue-talking. Good for you. Okay, Holly. But I need you to listen for a moment, okay? Especially people from Church of God in Christ and Pentecostal. Just hold on a second, okay? John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, watch what they say in verse 6. So when apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" You worried about a political situation. And he's about to do something that's never been done. And you still hung up on, "Oh, you know, we want to be like it was back in, you know, when Moses, you know, and Joshua led them into land flowing with milk and honey." I remember this time period, late 80s, early 90s. We would walk around each other. "So what you believe in God for?" "I'm believing for 100,000. "What you believe in God for?" "But for that new Mercedes, that SL. "What you believe in God for?" That's low-level living. Now, everybody with Mercedes, I ain't mad at you. Jack and I had a board meeting down in Dallas, October, I think, and I rented a car. I think it was a Chrysler. I don't remember. I reserved a car, whatever. I'm just going to the board meeting. And I got there, and a guy at the counter, behind the counter, said, "I'll give you the Mercedes for $20 more." Deal. Okay. So that was a nice ride, okay? I'm not mad at you about the Mercedes, okay? Good for you. Get your that's cool. That's awesome, okay? Amen? Cool. I want you to be crystal clear on that. But there's more to that. For some of us, we get the Mercedes and it's like, cool. I smile even when I'm. No, you need to smile about Jesus and his purpose and plan for your life. It's the same thing. Many of us, we came out to Corona, you know, most of us left the hood, Inglewood, South Central, Long Beach, you know, Compton. Come out here, we excited. Had the big, remember the big housewarming party? Everybody, look what the Lord has done. Look what, you know, the big house party. Girl, I got 5. How many bedrooms you got? Wait a minute, let me see. Oh, it's 1, 2. Girl, I got 5. You know how many bedrooms you had. We get so excited. Look what the Lord is blessed. Go down to, Lifeway bookstore, get all the little plaques put all over our house, you know. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And everywhere my foot is already tread, he's already given me. We do that. I ain't mad at you. Mad at you. And then you get laid off. And you find out what you paid $500,000 for is now worth $350. And the next month is $300. And what was your dream has become a nightmare. Pastor, I'm just going to walk away from this. I'm just gonna. You signed for it. Where was the joy that you had, you know, 2 or 3 years ago when you had that big barbecue and everybody was over? Pastor, come bless the house for me. Anoint it all. In fact, open up the window so all the demons can get out. This is a present. I'm not mad at you. I was right here too. We took that dip. It was like a roller coaster ride. I was like, Magic Mountain didn't have nothing on our economy, boy. That roller coaster, the scream machine. Oh, you should have been in my house. We were screaming too. But it didn't catch him by surprise. And if he allowed it, there must be purpose in it. And so I'm going to stay the course. And some of us, we jump out the boat. We don't go to the other side. We get upset and we lose it. And what happens is if you understand that you're operating in purpose, then that song we sung earlier about, I'm not a slave to fear. It's not going to define me. It's not going to define me. Let's get into this, please. Okay. Let me have that first photo, okay? First photo. So 1928, Hoover's running for president, and he had a tagline, okay? Senator? What was Hillary Clinton? She was a senator, right? Senator Clinton. She had I'm with her. President Trump had "Make America Great Again," okay? President Obama had "Change," you know? Okay, Hoover's was a chicken in every pot. And but I need you to think about the American psyche. Well, I want a chicken in my pot. I'm going to vote for him. That's still low-level thinking. Now, I know we need to eat. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But that's all you got, man? Chicken in every pot? So I had to get a visual. Next slide. Next. And so this is what he promised us. And people were excited. Think about it for a moment. A chicken in a pot. For my 20 year reunion in high school, we go there, and I can't think of this guy's name. He was crazy in school. He's still crazy. Me and Jackie sit at the table with him and his wife, and his name escapes me right now. And they bought our food out, and he's like, "Yardbird, I paid $40 for some Yardbird." But a lot of us, we settle for this, and we get excited. We go to church because when we look to get something, we get so convinced, if I just get this thing, this person, this job, this relationship, live here, whatever, then I'm complete. And you think about how you've been disappointed. And even the word disappointed, dis means to separate from what you've been appointed to. Look at disease. Dis-ease. You're no longer at ease. Settle in. A chicken in every pot. Everybody's getting excited. I'm going to stir up some right here, not on purpose. I want you to think about something. Majority of the people, now listen to me, I'm not political, but I'm about kingdom right now, okay? Stay with me. Stay with me, because your feelings, some of y'all, especially African Americans, your feelings going to get hurt right now. I mean, you're going to get stirred up. He said, President Trump said, candidate Trump said, "Make America great again." And the majority of people that voted for him, it would never been great. They fell for the okey-doke. And the people that are really benefiting in the economy right now are those that already have. Think about it. Think about it for a moment. And we're Christians. But see, I think what we've done is we've settled for a chicken in our pots. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Our thinking versus God's thinking. Apostles thinking about political comfort, and God is and Jesus was talking divine assignment. I'm not mad at anybody. I remember this is me. I know where my head was. When a man of God stood up in, not here, but in another church, and said, "You have a purpose." Pastor Ed taught a series off my notes. He said this, and it was called "Your Work Matters to God." What a lame, boring, none. That wasn't sexy at all. Your work matters to God. That ain't even appealing. Your work matters to God. I ain't like my work. Ain't even matter to me. I matter to God. I don't like what I'm doing. I drove a bookmobile. It's a mobile library. I had a Class A license. It's a semi, okay? You know, pop the brake. I mean, it was a tractor trailer setup, okay? And he said, your work matters to God. And then he began to talk about how, it was a whole series, and it would literally, because I listened, it changed my life. And I began to see where I was, God was equipping me and preparing me for ultimately where he was taking me. Now, because I was looking at my current situation through the lens of my experience, okay, and when you look at something through a lens, it clouds your judgment. I could not see how where I was had anything based on where I thought I was going. So I came up with this idea, and that picture I had for my life, it was not pastoring a church. Never thought about it, didn't have to, like, you know, some of you guys take that thought captive and bring it into obedience of Christ, or I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. No, it never entered my mind. But as my thinking changed, listen to me, okay, as I began to really submit more to his will and his way, I began to understand where he was working in my life. And all of a sudden, the things that used to matter began to matter a lot less. And that's primarily because God's will for my life began to matter more. I think when you started praying this morning, Minister Winona, you said, many of the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's purpose that will stand. I think it's Proverbs 21:19 or 19:21, I forget. Okay, but my point is that I begin to understand that. See, I used to plan my way and get frustrated, but it didn't work out my way. And now in hindsight, I'm so glad it didn't go my way. And I've learned something else, too, not to compare myself to someone else. You see someone else in their glory, but you don't know their story. And I talked to you before, you walk in on somebody's situation in the middle of the book and you make a judgment on that. Well, sometimes you walk in at the end when they're doing all good and you wonder, wow, how is it happening for them? But you don't know what they went through to get there. You see somebody in their harvest season, but you didn't see them in their sowing season. So don't get upset, don't hate, don't be mad at them. You can just start sowing your seeds, participate in the process of your own personal development, trust that God has you, he's working out things for you, he's perfecting those things that concern me. Yeah. And stay in your lane. God, I thought I wanted this and I needed this, and if I got this and everything would be okay. That's not him. And I've learned something. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And so what I've learned to do is, like, I know I can't think as high as he does. What I can do is get in line with his principles. Just learn the principles of God. And there are so many ways I don't have to be just because my culture says so. I learned a long time ago in a leadership class that culture, we eat vision for lunch. Many pastors, they come up with the vision for the church, but the culture of the community trumps that. Here's these disciples. Now, I want to show you something, okay? And it's going to take your ears. I need you to hear me on this one, okay? After Jesus, you know, this 40 days, Peter, he's confused about some things. Jesus had already appeared to him a couple of times, and he decides, he just said, I'm going fishing. We default to what's familiar. He was a fisherman. And I'm going to read something to you. And I'm going to read the book of John. I'm going to start in verse 21. And I'm going to start at John 21, starting in verse 15. But now I'm reading to you from a translation that literally almost goes word from Greek. So it's not going to read smoothly. Okay? Now, let me tell you the gist of the story. So Jesus is sitting there with Peter. You know, they've been fishing, and Jesus is on the shore, and they come in. And actually, they were out in the water, and Jesus on the shore about 100 yards away. And Jesus asked, did you catch anything? And they're like, no. And they're yelling back, and they recognize it's Jesus. John says, that's Jesus. Peter, he was naked because he was out just fishing, jumps in the water and begins to swim. He's so excited to see Christ. Now watch this. I need you to see this. He was excited to see Christ. Now, remember, before Jesus died, Jesus said, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter's like, you're talking to the kid. No, I'm not. Peter's like, I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you. And Jesus is like, boy, you so weak. No, he didn't say you so weak. But Peter had no idea. Now, here's the thing. The word agape, many of us believe, that's a Greek word meaning love, okay? But we often think, well, that's God's unconditional love. It's much, much more than that. And I've shared with you guys that over the years. Agape means to be completely, totally, wholly given over to something. Now, another word in for love in Greek is phileo, or like Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. It's more affectionate, okay? Okay, man, Philly over here. All right, cool, okay. Yeah, y'all better beef up that defense if you want to repeat this year, okay? Okay. No, that was no criticism. I remember I had the Philly shirt on. I'm good. We're good. She like. she was, that was my amen corner for a moment. I mentioned Philly. She just left the spirit. Don't be talking about my Eagles. Okay. There you go, Shirley. You stay right with me, okay? Shirley, stay with me. She's from Philly, too. Here's my point, though. Let's read this, okay? So Jesus comes to Peter, and listen to me. It says, then when they had breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you have a love for me called out of your heart by my preciousness to you, a devotional love that impels you to sacrifice yourself for me? Now, you read the King James, Peter, do you love me? Okay, but I want you to get the fullness of it, okay? And Jesus speaking, he says, do you consider me more precious and thus love me more than these other ones here? And he says to him, yes, Lord, as for you, you know positively that I have an emotional fondness for you. That's for Leo. Jesus said, do you agape, not agape, the verb form is agapeo. Do you agapeo me? I phileo you. Peter's like, I ain't stepping in that again. Last time I said I was all in a bag of chips, I got hurt. I got embarrassed. A little girl punked me. You know, I'm, you know, he's like, I'm not doing that again. And see, this is what happens with a lot of us. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Remember that? You were singing it. You going to live it? Elder Joyce had us do it even longer. And Pastor Todd was going, yeah, I'm no longer a slave. You jazzed it up. I heard that song before. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Ah, service was good today. Glory to God. And you go home. And something that scared the bejesus out you before, and you won't step into it again. You see Peter here, he won't even step into it. Let me keep reading. He says to him, yes, Lord, as for you, you know positively that I have an emotional fondness for you. And he says to him, Jesus says to Peter, be feeding my little lambs. Jesus says to him again a second time, Simon, second time, son of Jonas, do you have a devotional love for me called out of your heart by my preciousness to you, a love that impels you to sacrifice yourself for me? He says to him, yes, Lord, as for you, you know positively that I have a friendly feeling for you. Jesus says to him, be shepherding my sheep. He says to him the third time, watch this, Simon, son of Jonas, do you have a friendly feeling and affection for me? I love it. Jesus is like, let me just meet you where you are. I still believe in you. So one of those prophetic words I got, it said, you have had immaturity in your leadership, but you have stuck with them. I'll show it to you. I'll let you listen to it one day. And the reason I stick with people is because verses like this. I've had people come in my office and do some crazy stuff and say some crazy. I mean, yeah. But you see right here what Jesus did. Let me meet him where he is. Let me meet him where he is. Jesus said, do you have a friendly feeling and affection for me? And Peter said to him, Lord, as for you, all things you know positively. You know from experience that I have a friendly feeling and affection for you. And Jesus says to him, be feeding my sheep. You may have been hurt. You may have been lied on. Maybe you got so offended, you did something crazy. And many of us have sinned greatly. But it's time for you to live again. He did not give up on you. Don't give up on yourself. Don't. Your best days are ahead. Your greatest victories are in your future. If God be for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He is your rear guard. His angel is encamped around about you. You have the mind of Christ. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You know these scriptures. Now start living these scriptures. Step into your greatness. Step into your fullness of who he created you to be. Those gifts, those talents, those opportunities, those things that he's given you. That's where you have to head towards. You don't have to be like everybody else. You don't have to blend in. You don't have to wear the latest styles. Be you. Be an original. Be your authentic self. You don't need anyone to validate you. You don't need anyone to affirm you. He affirmed you when he sent his son to die for you. When his son hung on that cross and refused to come down, that's the ultimate affirmation. It's not going to get any higher than that. It's not going to get any better than that. You're not going to get anything else. There is no one can top what Jesus did. No one. No one. So you take your gifts. You take your opportunities, your talents, your personality style, and you move towards your purpose. And that is when you're going to become alive again. That's an area called convergence, and most Christians never reach that because we get offended and we begin to play small and play short. Bow your heads, please. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you.